Happy noon to you. It is exactly 12 o'clock right now. I was going to say good morning, good afternoon, but hey, that would you put the slide up that has a number on there? Because I want to make sure everybody in here gets this number, 830-351-8910. I'd love for you to submit a question for our next message series that's coming up starting next Sunday. We want to answer the questions that you have from the Bible, about the world, about life, whatever. Make them practical. Make them hard. I've already seen some that have come in today already, and I'm excited about this. And just know that if the sermons are not good over the next few weeks, it's your fault, because you're the ones that ask the questions, all right? So ask some good ones. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Robin Steele. I'm the senior pastor here at Promised Land, and we are so excited to have you here on Easter Sunday. Yeah, come on. This is our fourth service. We had one last night that was great. Great student event happened for junior high and high school students last night. They were out searching for eggs last night. They had cash in them, or like IOUs. This egg is good for $50 or something like that. Anyway, after service, you know, we dismissed, and I walked up there where they were, and the kids were still out in the woods, like, just looking and looking. I'm like, what's going on? They said, well, the $100 egg hasn't been found yet, and they're all, nobody wants to go home. They're all out here searching. And finally, I saw them all walking back, and they're all walking back like this. And Pastor Emilio, I guess, dismissed them like it's over. And so I was all excited about releasing you guys to go find that egg, but I heard that somebody found it. Was that before or after? Oh, they took it home and didn't realize it. Well, that was a good experience when they got home. And you're like, you had to be here to get it. Sorry. No. Anyway, we had a great time then. And then, of course, 8:30, 10, and now 11:30. And I'm starting to get that preacher voice. Come on. I'm going to really preach good now. But anyway. We're glad that you're here. Everybody that's online today, I just shared this on my Facebook, so if you're one of my Facebook friends, I'm glad you're here. We have people that watch from all over the place, so we're so thankful to have you, but it's so good to have people in the actual room. This is my 18th Easter weekend at Promised Land, and I can think back to many of them. Some of them I don't remember. But I remember our first one, our goal was to have 175 people show up. And we did it. We had like 178. And man, we thought we were conquering the world. It was so awesome. And but then there was last year. I'll never forget last year either. I was standing in front of a camera, and there was just me and one other guy. I think it was my son, Jude, that was recording it last year. And out on the hill. So many of y'all saw that, but now you're here in person. So we're thankful to have you in person. I see some faces I've never seen before. Welcome to Promised Land, all of you that this is your first time to ever come to our church. Make yourself at home. We're here to help you, serve you, answer any questions. Text that number, and we'll answer them for you. And then I see faces that I haven't seen in a year. This is your first Sunday back. So, man, welcome back to Promised Land. We're glad to have you. Come on, let's give everybody a hand right now. Thank them for coming. So even though this is an amazing statistic I read this week, 2.3 billion people in the world today will be celebrating Easter Sunday. Isn't that amazing? 2.3 billion people call themselves Christians or followers of Jesus across the world. There is no other organization or group or company or corporation that can match the size of Jesus' church. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I know you think Amazon is big, and it is. They're building another big warehouse in Kyle or Buda or somewhere up there. I know you think Walmart's big, it is, but it's nothing compared to the Church of Jesus. It's bigger than that. China is big, Europe's big, United States is big, but you can combine all of those countries and they don't compare to the size of the Church of Jesus. It's amazing. So how did it get to 2 billion people? It started with one, Jesus, and then he had about 12 followers One of them betrayed and imploded, Judas. And so he had then 11 followers. How did it go from a group of 12 guys that were often depressed, angry, didn't have much money, weren't that smart, weren't, one of them had money, Matthew, he was a tax collector. But the others were just very common blue collar guys that struggled a lot in life. I mean, they had anger problems. They had loyalty problems. They denied Jesus at the moment of his most needed time. How does it go from that group of just a handful of people to 2 billion people? Well, I can say it in one word. The reason why we're here today, 2,000 years later, is because of the resurrection. Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. That's why we're here. If Jesus hadn't literally risen from the dead, we wouldn't be here. And I'll say this a lot. I'm going to keep saying it forever because people need to hear this. The resurrection of Jesus is not a parable. It's not an allegorical story. It's not some sort of feel-good, imaginary fable. It is a historical event that literally happened. Jesus was dead and buried in a tomb, and on the third day, he defeated death and rose all by himself. The stone rolled away, and Jesus walked out, and that's why we're here today, because it literally happened. Now, it wasn't just 12 weird people that saw him alive, or 13, or whatever, 11, and then we're here. No, historical books, the Bible included, claim and show that 900 people saw Jesus after he died and rose again. So 900 people saw him alive after the crucifixion. Now, that's a lot of people. You could take 900 people, you know, and use them in witnesses at a trial in these days, and I think it would work. You filed 900 people through there. You know, if I told you the Queen of England is in San Marcos, she's here. She's staying down at the Hampton Inn. She's in San Marcos. You'd be like, I don't think so. But then if somebody else told you, they saw her at Starbucks. Man, I saw her. She was down there. She's here. And then a few other people tell you, and then you go to the outlet mall, like, did you see the Queen? And then finally 900 people tell you that the Queen of England's in San Marcos. You'd be like, I think she's here, right? And that's what happened. Jesus literally rose from the dead, and it changed everything. So this little sect of about 120 people when he rose from the dead, about 120 followers at that point that grew in just a few days, like a month from there, grew to 3,000 in Jerusalem. And then just within years, there was 30,000 people in the city of Jerusalem that were following Jesus, and then 500,000, and then decades passed, a couple centuries passed, or more, and it grew and grew and grew. Even in the face of persecution and being fed to lions, it grew. And by the year 300, some odd, it became the official religion of Rome, which was the leader of the entire world. And so it went from just a few people to the national religion, or actually the world's most known religion at that point in the modern Western world, I would say, because of the resurrection. Jesus literally rose from the dead. I want to tell you about four pillars, or whatever you want to call it, that made it happen. That happened and stirred up the people, fired them up, set them on their path. But guess what? It's not just four things that are dead and buried and dusty, but it's four ways that the resurrection brings hope to your life and to my life. And the first one is this: the resurrection brings us hope because we are forgiven and loved forever. That's good news. We all carry things in our life that we don't like. There's guilt in our life. There's heaviness in our life. There's burdens of things that we've done, mistakes that we've done. And that's heavy. It's hard to go through life dealing with your mistakes. And it's very troublesome. It's stressful. We're not designed to do that. We're designed to be free and to be in relationship with God, but unfortunately, we've been passed sinful nature down from generation to generation, and we find ourselves doing things that just aren't right. And God doesn't want us to be trapped that way or live that way forever, so He provides a way for us. But before I tell you about that way, let me tell you what the way is not. The way is not God coming to you and saying, JD, you made a mistake. Look at this. And JD's like, oh, man, yeah, that's terrible. Let's not look at that. And God goes, that's a great idea. Let's not look at that. Let's forget that. Let's forget that ever happened. Let's just go over here. Hey, everybody, look over here. You know, look at your job. Look at your marriage. Look at your education. You know, get another degree. Keep going. Keep yourself busy. Don't think about that. Forget about that. Let's pretend like it didn't happen. That's not God's plan. God's plan to deal with your mistakes is not just to ignore them or forget them or just try to not think about them. Instead, God pays the debt of those things so that they don't have claim over your life anymore. You're truly free from the effects of the mistakes that you've made. If you're back in that courtroom and you have to face a judge because of something you've done, then you have to pay a fine. You may have to do community service. I mean, you have to do things to take care of what you've done, and the penalty of whatever you've done equals pretty much, you know, what you did. So you have to pay for it. If you were not here last week to hear Pastor Emilio's message, please go back to YouTube, our YouTube channel, and see it. He did a brilliant job laying out this forgiveness of Jesus that He paid for us on the cross. It's just amazing what God does for us to pay our debt. Let me read you a couple passages. Romans 4:25 says, He, Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. So His work, Jesus' work on the cross, takes our sin and deals with it so that you truly are not weighed down by it anymore. He takes away the earthly and eternal consequence of that sin. And He nails it to the cross. And I love that last part. It says He was raised to life, the resurrection, so that we would be made right with God, so that we could have a relationship with God. So we're forgiven forever. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ we are set free. No more chains, no more shackles or slavery of the past, of our mistakes. Even what other people have done to us, that weight can be taken from us as well. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of His death. And so we have forgiveness of sin because of God's rich grace. That's awesome. But the good news doesn't stop there. We're forgiven forever, but we're also loved forever. And some of you struggle with this because you don't even love yourself. You know, you've done things in your life. You've made mistakes. You've done things that you're like, I'm bad. I do bad things. I can't help it. I'm stuck with this, on and on. Or maybe people that should have loved you didn't. And you're struggling with, well, why didn't my dad love me? Why doesn't my mom love me? Why did my spouse abandon me? You know, I'm not lovable because look at these people that should have loved me. They don't. So then you start having the weight of this image of everybody else's rejection on you. You feel unlovable because of what other people have done to you. But this is what's amazing about the love of God. God's love is based on who He is, not who we are. So that means His love is never going to end. It's never going to fail. You know, we can be wrestling with ourselves and who we are, but guess what? God's not wrestling with it. God's not wrestling with your past. God's forgiven you of your past. God loves you. He loved you before He forgave you, before He died for you. For God so loved the world that He came here to die for you. And another scripture says, while you were sinning, He loved you and died for you. So it's amazing, the love of God. We are forgiven forever. We're loved forever. But number two, the resurrection gives us hope because now we're filled with God. So if that first point is like God taking us up out of the dirt, cleaning us off, setting us up at ground zero, to like just be forgiven and, okay, I'm forgiven. That's good. But God doesn't want to leave you there. God wants to then put a portion of himself inside of you. And that's power. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he had risen from the dead and he was about to ascend into heaven. And you can just imagine what the disciples and everybody were thinking. No, don't leave us. You know, like, you just rose from the dead. Stay with us. Come on. This is just getting good. This is the good part. You're alive. And now we're really going to take over. And it wasn't in God's plan for that to happen. Instead, there's this transition of power. This is so good. Acts 1 and 8 says, when the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. And I've heard this preached so many times, and it's in Pentecostal churches. And power, power, woo! And that's awesome. But I think one of the biggest parts of this scripture right here is that transition of them going, oh, wait a minute, you're not going to be here anymore. Yeah. Well, what's going to happen? No, you're going to have power now. I'm going to give you a piece of me. I'm going to give you some of my spirit. So now you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now you're going. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. That is a transfer of power that God's given to us. We're going to receive power, and we're going to tell people everywhere about Jesus in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're forgiven, we're loved, and we're filled with his power. This is how the disciples go from fearful to faithful, from cowardly to courageous. If you were to examine the disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going like, man, how is this going to work? These guys are a mess, right? And I told you earlier, Peter denied Jesus at the most important moment. And I mean, all the track record of the disciples in the first 3 years of their walk with Jesus is a mess. But then you look at them from Acts 2 on, they're completely different because now they have the Spirit of God flowing through them. The Spirit of God is now giving them power. Now, they still make mistakes. They still stumble here and there, but they're moving toward Jesus, and they have his power in them. And this is truly how we were designed to live. God designed us to live with his power. And, you know, when Adam and Eve lived in the garden, that's how they had. They had the power of God in their life. They communed with God. They were with God. They had the power of God in their life. It was a beautiful thing, and that's how we were all designed to live, with his Spirit in us and flowing through us. But then sin separates us from God, and we're detached from him. And so many people, and I'm just going to say, so many people in that 2.3 billion that call themselves followers of Jesus have unfortunately learned how to live without his power. And so now what happens? Well, they don't have the power of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their life. They haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they have learned how to kind of limp along through life and patching things up and figuring out, well, this is how we'll do this, and this is how we'll do that. And just kind of like this head knowledge of God, but not really in their heart, following after Jesus and being filled with his Spirit. And so I want to encourage you, if this is new to you guys, you've never heard about this, and let me just back up and say, if you're not living in the forgiveness of Jesus and the love of Jesus, today's a day of salvation. Yes. We're going to pray here in a minute. I want to invite everybody to pray along with me a prayer that you can come into the forgiveness and the love of Jesus today and receive that. But you can also receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing that he has for us. Let me help you understand it like this. 6 weeks ago, we had the blizzard of all Texas blizzards. I mean, I know we've had ice storms and like a half an inch of ice and all that stuff, and everything shuts down. But nobody will forget 2021 blizzard. I call it a blizzard. It was a blizzard, okay? And this is what happened. Everybody's like, oh, it's going to snow. Okay, yeah. You know, in Texas, if we get snow in the forecast, everybody's excited. Oh, snow, you know, no school, no work, yay. And so the snow starts coming down at night, and then we wake up. Oh, it's beautiful. 6 inches of snow, foot of snow in some place. It's amazing. And then the power goes out. And everybody's like, well, the power will come back on because the power always comes back on. So, yeah, the power's going to come back on. And then the power doesn't come back on. And the power's out for 3 hours, and then it comes on. And then it's on for a few hours, and it goes out for 3 or 4 hours. And did anybody else experience this or just my house? Yeah, y'all understand what I'm talking about? There's places in Austin, pockets in Austin, and other places, they didn't have power for days and days. In my house, it would go off for 3 hours, come back on, go off for 3 hours. And we heard these news stories that it may be out for days or possibly weeks if the whole grid fails. And so at one point, I think it was Tuesday night, it was off for 12 hours all night, in the morning and the evening. And Eric and I got together. We're like, we got to figure this out. This is the shift of, like, we have to figure out how to live without power. How are we going to do this? Well, our food, the fridge keeps turning off. We keep opening it to get stuff, and things are wasting. So how are we going to save our food? So we had this genius idea to put the food outside. So check out, this is one of our ice chests that we had on the front porch. This is our just refrigerated stuff. I mean, it was so cold outside, it was almost too cold. So I had to leave the lid open. But this was our refrigerated stuff. And then my son, Avery, he took another ice chest and put all the frozen stuff in it and literally made a snow cave and buried an ice chest in. I mean, I never thought in my life that we would have to build snow caves in Texas to bury our food. Come on, isn't that weird? Just so weird. And I told him too, I was like, Avery, go shovel the snow and I'll pay you, which I still haven't done yet. Anyway, and you can tell your kids, I shoveled snow and my dad paid me to shovel snow. I mean, that's just, who's gonna believe you? So this is us, like, learning how to limp along. Check out this next picture. This is the next level. It's kind of hard to tell what this is, but if you look at that blue tank, that's our water coming from our well, and then you can see pipes to the left of it, and it was getting so cold, we were nervous our pipes would all bust in there, and then we would lose water. So I brought this little gray space heater you can see on the bottom left to heat the room. It's a little pump house to keep it warm in there so that our pipes wouldn't freeze, but the power went off. So the electric heater wouldn't work. So my idea was this other stove you can see on the right-hand side with the gas flames there. And thankfully I had a camping stove with some propane. And thankfully the whole thing didn't burn down, right? That would have been tough. But this is our idea of, like, well, we got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. And show this next meme. This is something that John Michael made in our church. The way you feel every time the electricity comes back on. Yeah, like you're running around, washing dishes, taking a bath. That's the one thing I do. It's like, I'm taking a bath next time the power comes back on. And just like, this is the way we're supposed to live our life, with the power of God. I mean, that the way of living with ice chests and heaters and all that, that's great for 1850 or, you know, 1400s or something. But we live in 2021. Our houses are designed to have electricity flowing through them, just like we are designed to have the power of God flowing through us. And so I want to give you some good news today, that you can actually live with the power of God flowing through you, and you don't have to keep trying to figure out how to make it, because God's going to help you. God's going to help you. He's going to help you make it. And here's really good news. God's power is more reliable than ERCOT. All right? You don't have to go to some sort of legislative meeting, some sort of trial, fire somebody to figure out what happened with God's power. No, God's power never fails. It keeps on going. In fact, the Bible says what kind of power this is in Ephesians 1:19. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness. This is me right now. I'm praying that you guys will understand the greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Man, it's so good. It's so powerful. And how powerful is it? It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead that's now coming in the book of Romans. It says to raise your mortal bodies, to quicken your mortal bodies, to invigorate you, empower you. It's the same power that raised Christ. So if you have power in your life, that raised Christ from the dead, how many know he can raise your dead finances, your dead marriage, your dead dream, whatever you have in your life, that God needs to resuscitate and bring back to life? Which, by the way, this is a technicality. Resurrection is better than resuscitation. Resuscitation, there's still a little bit of life there, and you're just like breathing, and you're doing the harsh compressions and all that. Resurrection is it's dead and buried in the grave. And some of you have things in your life that's been buried, and God's going to bring them back to life. Number three, the resurrection gives us hope because we know the purpose of life. God's purpose is real and practical and relevant for you, and he wants to show you why you're here. And you've heard of the midlife crisis. Maybe some of y'all are in one right now. I think we're all tempted to do that, you know? Like, if you've been in a job for a certain amount of time, you think, is this it? Is this all that's going to happen in my life? Am I just going to go to work every day? Is this it? You know, like, I don't know if you've gotten there yet. Some of you may not have gotten there yet, but there's this struggle. If you don't know the purpose of God in your life, you're just wandering around trying to figure it out, and it creates this hole, this void that we try to fill. You know, growing up, it was like, you know, older men are going to get a Corvette convertible, you know, they're going to open up their shirt and have a big medallion and like try to get all the women, and you know, they're at a midlife crisis, they're trying to stuff something in that hole to make them feel better, make them feel valuable, make them feel good. But we all, and some people do this as teenagers or as college students, as young couples, sometimes after you get married, a few weeks later, you're like, is this the one I should have married? They're not the same person that they were before. Anyway, so people stuff things in that hole to try to make it feel better, like another relationship or a different job or more money or a new spouse or a sexual relationship or whatever it is, another degree maybe, to try to make you feel like at some point you're accepted. And that's not God's plan. God has a plan for you that is disconnected from your ability to earn it or figure it out or try to prove yourself. Instead, he has a purpose. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me because his love endures forever. Now, some of you have a struggle with this because you've screwed things up. And You might say, yeah, I'm sure God had a plan for me, but I messed it up. Or look at my life. Like, I can't be in God's plan or God's will because look at the mess that's here. Well, I have good news for you. When you turn yourself towards him and you receive him in your heart and your life and you begin walking towards him, In a path towards Christ, there is something that is so incredible that God's going to do for you. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, somebody say all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if you are loving him, and you're walking according to his purpose, which you don't have to know exactly what it is, but you're like, Lord, I'm waking up today, and I want to live for you. I'm going to walk towards you. I don't have it all figured out. I'm going to trip along the way. I mean, I'll be transparent with you. I make mistakes. Shocker, huh? I sin. I do things that are not right. But I get up. Every day I say, I have messed up. That is not good. I don't like that. I don't want to be that way. I am in the forgiveness of Jesus. I am in the love of Jesus. My faith is pointed towards Jesus, and I am going to walk according to his purpose today. Amen. You know what that scripture is saying? When you're doing that, when you're in love with Jesus and you're walking towards him, what he's saying is, I'm going to figure your life out. Amen. You've got some really messed up parts of your life. That's what God's saying. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to figure it out. It's confusing. You can't figure it out. Your pastor can't figure it out. Your teacher can't figure it out. Your spouse can't figure it out. But I'm God, and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to work things for your good that you thought would be just terrible and awful, and they are. This passage doesn't mean that everything that comes at you is good. It means that God's going to take the broken parts and make them work out somehow. Amen. And I receive that in my life today. So God forgives us. He loves us. He fills us with His Spirit. He gives us a purpose and a plan. But number four, I want to finish with this. The resurrection gives us hope because this world is not the end. We're going to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. This is not the end. Now, I told you earlier about 2.3 billion people that follow God. There's 250 million of those people that are living in a country right now that will persecute them or possibly kill them because of their faith in Jesus. 250 million people live in the world right now in a country that Christianity is either illegal or they will be ostracized, they'll be, their businesses will be burned, whatever, because of their faith in Jesus. In fact, our partner in India, Norman Gray, we talk all the time. He just told me last week that it is now illegal for people to be converted into Christianity from any other religion in India. That his church and any other Christian church will get in trouble, could possibly be shut down, if it is proven that they have participated in someone converting into Christianity. And you may think, well, how would they ever know? Well, it's not like America over there. In America, we change religions all the time. We just float around. Over there in India, you actually have to put your religion on your national ID card. And so if you get converted to Christianity, you go and you say, I am now a Christian, and that is illegal to change your religion there. Every year over the last 10 years, an average of 90,000 people have died in the world because of their faith in Jesus. That's almost 1 million people over the last 10 years have died because of their faith in Jesus. Now, how would they do that? Why would they do that? The only reason why they keep walking out their faith is because they know that death is not the end. They know that death is a transition to their eternity where they'll be with their loved ones and they'll be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. This is how the early Christians faced the lions of Rome. This is how the modern day believers face execution, because they know that heaven is waiting for them. Now, again, we struggle with that. Why? Because of the movies we watch and how heaven is represented, right? Heaven in movies is depressing. Everybody's wearing white. All the walls are white, curtains everywhere. There's fog all over the ground, right? You know what I'm talking about? Heaven scenes. Everybody's wearing these like cardboard cutout wings. I don't want to go there. That sounds like prison. I have to live in that place forever and ever. That's not what heaven's going to be like. It's hard for us to wrap our head around heaven. It would be like us trying to describe the internet to a mosquito. Like, okay, here's how you log on. Here's how you press this button. Just can't do it. That's how it is to try to explain heaven to humans. We can't comprehend it. Heaven is going to be similar to earth with all the color. Man, God's not colorblind. He loves every color. Every color is going to be there. Read the book of Revelation and see the textures and the colors. It's going to be the best sunsets all the time and sunrises and the mountain scenes and the valleys and the beautiful oceans and beaches. And think about all the glorious things of earth. Think about all the glorious things that happen in humanity. Like, relationships and love and birth and celebrations and all the things that we love about our life. Okay, you take all the great things of earth and multiply them times a million, and then we're starting to talk about heaven. That's how awesome it's going to be. We're loved, we're forgiven, we're filled with His Spirit, we have purpose in our life, and then when we die, it's not the end. We get to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever in a beautiful place. New heaven and new earth. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to stand to our feet, and we're going to start stepping into this moment. This is a moment where everybody's going to have a chance to step into this moment. We're going to sing a song. The band's going to play a song. You Keep Hope Alive. And what I want us to do before we sing this song is I want us to proclaim it with our mouth. And I want us to hear, I want our own ears to hear our own mouth say it. And I know at church a lot of times we pray quietly and we all bow our heads and we all close our eyes. But today I want to do the opposite. I want us to open our eyes and I want us to look up. And no one's looking at you. No one's caring about you right now. Everybody's caring about their own relationship with God and looking to God. And I want you to just say, Jesus, You keep hope alive. Say, Jesus, because You're alive, You keep hope alive. Come on, let's sing it together. To be alive right now, instead of me praying by myself, I want to invite you in on this. I want to invite you in to make a decision to follow Jesus on your own, by yourself. This is a great moment. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your grandma can't do it for you. No one but you and God together right now. And I know some of you are like, well, hang on, like, how's this going to work? What's going to happen? What should I do tomorrow? Do you know that the disciples were in the same mindset when they were with Jesus and He was about to leave them? And they were all together eating dinner one time, and He was with His disciples. This is after He rose from the dead. And they're all like, okay, how's this going to work? Okay, you're leaving. Okay, what's going to happen? And Thomas, who's known as Doubting Thomas, he says, Jesus, how's this going to work? Where are we supposed to go? How will we know the way? And Jesus looks at Thomas and He says, Thomas, I am the way. All you have to do is follow Me. I know tomorrow looks tough and you're not sure how it's gonna work, but I'm your solution. I'm your way. All you got to do is follow Me. And that's a daily thing. It's not an annual thing. It's not a monthly thing. It's a daily thing. Today, I want to follow You, Jesus. I want to live according to Your purpose. I want to walk with You from this day forward. I want us to pray that prayer right now. Would you join with me, whether you've never prayed it in your entire life, you prayed it when you were six at kids camp, or you pray it every day already. I want us to pray it right now. Would you join with me? Let's just say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to give you my life right now. I surrender. Please take me as I am. I trust you as my Savior. I need help. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I receive your forgiveness today. I trust in you. God, I make myself available. This is a great prayer right here. Come on, let's tell Jesus. I make myself available to you. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to be baptized with your Spirit, with your love, with your joy, with your peace, your patience. Lord, all of it. Lord, I want the baptism of your Holy Spirit in my life. I welcome it today and every day. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, clap your hands. Let's thank God for what he's doing. Amen.
Come on, church. Let's keep putting our hands together. Let's give him a Resurrection Sunday shout of praise. Let's let Jesus know how good he is. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Man, what a day. What a day. Hey, I want to talk to a certain group of people right now. If you are in here and you made that decision to follow Jesus for the first time, we want to say congratulations. We're so proud of you. It is a great day. The Bible says that when one person gives their life to Jesus, all of heaven is celebrating. And so we're celebrating too. Come on, can we give a hand to every person that chose to recommit or give their life for the first time? What a huge day and a huge honor it is, man. And we want to do is just turn your attention really quick, if that's you that we're talking to, or maybe this is your first time here, or you want to take your next steps with Jesus. Will you just look at the seat back in front of you, and will you grab that envelope that is there and just jot down a little bit of information. Let us know what it is that you decided today, or how we can be praying for you or believing with you. We just want to connect with you, and you'll have an opportunity on your way out to drop that off in our offering bins. You can just leave that there and someone will get with you and contact you, and we'll be there for you. We're not just interested in a moment where you feel God and then you just go about your life and act like nothing has changed. We exist promising to take every step of the journey with you, and that's what we intend in doing. Go ahead, we can clap for those people. That's so awesome. Also attached to that envelope is an offering envelope. There's an offering for record of your giving. If you want to give today financially, we want to give you an opportunity to be generous. There's a few ways that you can do that. You can text PromiseN to 73256. You can go on psmchurch.com and give online. If you're watching online right now, all the same options apply. But if you want to give any physical, like money, you can mail in checks to our address here, 1650 Lime Kiln Road, San Marcos, Texas 78666. And so we just say thank you. Moments before the message, you were able to hear JD talk a little bit about ways that we have served our community this past week, so that students all over could experience an Easter similar to the UL experience. But it's only possible that we're able to do things like that because of faithful people like you, faithful people who are linking your heart to God. And so I want to pray for you this morning that you would give with joy on your heart. And I want to pray that God would bless you for being the blesser. So let me pray really quick for just a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to give back what's already yours, God. We just pray that you would do so much more than we can ask, think, or imagine, God. And we know that if we just joyfully place our finances in the most trustworthy hands that have ever lived, that have ever existed, God, that you will do so much. And so we do it, and we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Come on, say amen again. Hey, I don't want to let you slip out of here without giving you a couple things that are going on here at Promised Land. We want this party to continue, and so we are excited about First Wednesday this Wednesday. If you don't know, maybe this is your first time here. First Wednesday is a service that we have on the first Wednesday of every month, very similar to what we experienced this morning. We love to have worship sets. We love to have great teaching. Sometimes there'll be panels. Sometimes there'll be guest speakers, but we just come together, lift up the name of the Jesus in the middle of the week, and it is just one of my absolute favorite services. So we'd love to see you there 7 o'clock. This Wednesday, we're going to have a phenomenal time. Also, I want to just double back around. I know Pastor Robin has already talked about the new sermon series, but I am super pumped for it, okay? So look at that number. That's the number that you need to text. Even if you don't have a question, maybe just take a picture of it. Hold on to that number when you think of it. You know, where do babies come from? What happened to the dinosaurs? Whatever it is you want to ask Pastor Robin, now's your chance, okay? Where do you get your hair cut? I don't know. I think it needs to be a little more biblical than that. But whatever you want to ask, go ahead and text that. And we're going to have a fun few weeks with this series. So come ready, come expectant this Wednesday and next Sunday. Great things are going to keep happening here, and we'd love for you to be a part. We're going to go through our normal dismissal, so we go from back to front. This is going to help us keep our 6 feet of distance to help us social distance. So an usher will come by and kind of dismiss your role. If you just hang tight for just a moment, when they get to you, you can dip on out. Everyone else watching online, we want to say we love you. We're so thankful that you're here this morning. You could be anywhere in the whole world, but you're right here watching with us, and we don't take that for granted. We can't wait. Make sure to log on and watch online Wednesday and next Sunday. We love you. We'll see you soon.